All right, here we go. Welcome to the Real Man Talk Show. My name is Chris Cuff from 24 Flicks, coming to you from Orlando, Florida. We are here for the men who to stand up for the men who try their best to live a righteous lifestyle. They follow Christ and do the best they can. And we want to let you guys know that you're not alone in the things that you go through in your walk with God. I'm here with some guests here today, plus my my co-host, Frank Caratini. What's up, Frank? How are you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good, man. Thank you so much for coming on today, Mr. Reliable. Much appreciated. Also, I have guests with us today, someone, a recurring guest, Isaiah Thorpe. How you doing, Isaiah?
Doing pretty good, man. God is good.
Good. You going with that Zeke look, huh? You going to caveman Zeke look today?
Hey, now it's growing.
Awesome. Yeah, it's growing for sure. For sure. I don't know what your goal is, but you're on your way. You're on your way. My nephew up there from Leesburg, Florida, up north, Sheldon Walker. How you doing, Sheldon? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing well, Unc. I appreciate you allowing me to come on.
Oh, appreciate having you. So this is take two. We just recorded about 20 minutes, and I realized it wasn't recording. You know that happens all the time when I do this show, running all this stuff at the same time. I apologize to you guys, and I appreciate your time. Just going to be transparent. It was messed up. So we decided I had talks with Sheldon. I talks with Zay and then Frank, and we decided to talk about the whole Black Lives Matter movement, the George Floyd incident, and everything that's going on with that. My feelings, George Floyd was really just another of the same thing that we've seen for years and years. I think it just happened to be caught in detail this time on video. And it had a reaction. Praise God, it had a reaction. It woke a lot of people up to see what's really, really going on. Frank, what did you think when you saw the George Floyd video?
Well, like what you just said, it sounds funny, but I was glad that it happened on video. Because this is something that, like I said before, would have been taken into the courtroom. People not really just having little clips and clips, but this was in your face. Time frame of what happened to Floyd. And I'm glad that justice is being done, and right. I want to see it carry through all the way. And I just want to share a scripture, because this was what God put on my heart.
Okay.
It says James 2:9, but if you favor some people over others, you are committing sin. Amen. Bottom line, it is sin. You are guilty of breaking the law of God.
Amen.
We all created equal in God's eyes. And then in Micah, it says, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice?
Amen.
He says justice first, and loving kindness and humility.
Right.
So we in the church always want to preach about the kindness and humility, but we forget about the justice of God and what needs to be done.
Amen.
And I'm just glad that not for the Floyd family and what they have to go through, and my prayers are with them,
yes,
but that it was brought in such a thing that it could awaken the people and to, like what my brother's already said, of people that have reached out to them that maybe didn't even know, and pray against that spirit that might even be in the background of their family, generational stuff that has come along. So, you know, I believe that justice is going to be served in this world, and hopefully going forward, we see a lot less of this and a more awareness and more talking about it in the churches.
Right. Now, Isaiah, you're from the younger crowd, and I saw some stuff that you posted. How is it? Have you feeling? Because I know a lot of us were in a very, very dark place. A lot of us, all of us, but especially men of color, were in a dark place after what happened. Tell me your thoughts on when you, this whole process of the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. So when I first saw the video, I was outraged and it hurt. But recently, within the past few months, I've been experiencing a spiritual awakening. I've been feeling God drawing me closer to Him. And I wanted to, even though I was dealing with this pain and being fed all the racial injustice that we face, and being conditioned to fear the very thing that was put in place to serve and protect us, which is the police, I've been trying to deal with the pain, but at the same time, step out of myself and look at it from a godly perspective. Mm-hmm. And similar to what Frank said, I was having a conversation with my cousin, and we were talking about how in church, you know, there's so much of how we talk about, you know, God is love, which he is, and kindness, but it's like the church shies away from the hard topics. They don't talk about that God is a God of justice as mm-hmm. well, and that we as Christians are supposed to pursue justice because God is on the side of the oppressed. So it's literally emotions left and right, but then trying to figure out how to come at it with a godly perspective. So it's mm-hmm. definitely been a ride.
Yeah, for sure. Now, Sheldon, I'm going to come at you a little bit different. I do want to know your feelings of what happened, but you also have two adult children. And I'd like to know how they felt about it, your conversations with them. But first of all, tell me your feelings over the George Floyd, execution and the riots and then everything that's turned around now since everything that's been going on.
Yeah, I had a chance to see that video later in the day. It had already been viewed maybe even millions of times at that point in time. But previous to that, I had a chance to see the situation that happened in, I think, Rubble Park in, mm-hmm. In New York.
Right.
And you got well-educated black man who was a Harvard-educated black man who was mm-hmm. a bird watcher who is being chastised because he's doing the right thing and he's enjoying the surroundings that's been put in place. But mm-hmm. there's this woman, dog, and she's not really caring for the environment in the way that the park requires. And, you know, she has a plan. So I'm watching that video and I'm thinking, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank God again, there was video evidence of what yes. was going on. And just the escalation of her voice if there was no video, that was enough to convict him of some sort of crime. And we have no idea of what would have happened if there was no video.
Right. He was going to jail.
So exactly. Mm-hmm. And because in our right minds, we're thinking nobody would set in motion a reason to be so deceptive in plain sight in the daytime. So watch that. Then I had an opportunity to watch the murder of George Floyd and was just dumbfounded. Mm-hmm. I watched the small segment and mm-hmm. then I watched a 10-minute version and I'm watching from every aspect from Dennis Chauvin's perspective, which was malicious. I'm listening to George Floyd cry out to his mother mm-hmm. and asking them to get off his neck because he can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm watching those bystanders who are pleading with the officer to stop. And then this lady comes in at the end who was a off-duty firefighter who is saying, give me a pulse. So you've got all these people pleading. And so in that very moment, if they had just, they were drunk with the power, if they had just allowed themselves to listen, if they had a purpose in just making sure he was subdued, which he was, if they would have just listened to the crowd, and that's the damaging part mm-hmm. that I can't get across, that if he was so drunk, Chauvin was so drunk with the power, why didn't the screams and cries of those around him influence him to say, "Oh, what am I doing?"
Right. He was already subdued. I mean, it's not like he was a threat. There's four of you.
And I didn't realize there were two or three other cops on top of him. So
yeah.
But as far as my children, they you know, they couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. And I think we're all shocked. And this was a teaching point that they. You know, even there's sometimes when you're, doesn't matter what Floyd's record was, what was going on. There are sometimes right. when you're trying to do right, mm-hmm. and you're trying to do what is that what you're being asked to do. And sometimes people have a way of changing that, and they own the narrative, and mm-hmm. people are out. I mean, that's truly the fall of man. That's truly mm-hmm. what we saw was sin and the devil himself. So mm-hmm. it was a great teaching point for my kids. And to reiterate, how do you handle an arrest from a black male, black female's perspective? Mm-hmm. Because we can't talk about Breonna Taylor, a black woman who had, right. you know, that she just was asleep. Mm-hmm. Sandra Blanton, I think, is her last name. And so mm-hmm. how do we handle these things? So it allowed me to reiterate those truths mm-hmm. and also to say, hey, you got to just be careful.
Right. So you've had to talk with them.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And the talk was earlier in their lives.
Sure.
But now it's made me reexamine the talk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we've had to and they had questions in their, you know, don't know it all mannerisms. They had mm-hmm. questions about, you know, why didn't the other people help? And why was it enough that others were screaming and crying out for his personal safety? So mm-hmm. It's, you know, and I had to go back to evil exists.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's right. That's right. So Frank, you had mentioned in our previous conversation that was not recorded, my bad. I'm going to keep going back to that. I don't care. Transparency. That the church has a lot to do with and a lot of work to do in getting us all together racially and just together as a family under God, correct?
Right, right. And the reason I have to seek God's wisdom on this, because I'm not a black man. I don't like when people walk around and try to relate themselves to a situation that they have no idea what it is to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to educate ourselves. And I was reading some stuff, and it says mm-hmm. it is important as to know why you are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You're out there protesting. Like I see some people protesting, whether they're white, Hispanic, black protesting. Know why you're doing what you're doing. Educate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This should emerge from an inward brokenness to see healing in the body of Christ as it relates to racial reconciliation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just looking at what people are doing, you see some are out there just in hate and anger and don't know how to channel that hate and anger.
That's what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, so, you know, we could look at them, and yeah, it's not right to bust other people's stores, and, you know, because even black people I've seen are black business owners lost their businesses because of this.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's okay to have the hate and the rage in you, because mm-hmm. it's biblical. It's been all through the Bible.
Right.
How you handle it, it comes down to God, and like we were talking about before, what we are learning in the churches to right. bring more aware. The more you understand diversity about each other, the more we will be richly blessed.
Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. the bottom line, and that's what right. God wants.
So let's talk about the protests. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, there's three different pieces to that. You have protesters, you have rioters, mm-hmm. and you have looters, right? Protesters, amen. Protesters peacefully protest. They march, they have their signs, they shout, you know, we want justice, say his name, Black Lives Matter. All good for that, all good for that. Then you have the rioters, and I don't even like the term rioters, that's just a name that comes by. You have some people like us, I know we all have this in us, but we don't act on it, who are furious from having a knee on our neck since day one. I mean, we've been here since 1619 and have been pushed down as black men and black people, where we are angry. And there's a lot of anger. There's a lot of stuff that we let go. And there's some people that don't, like Frank said, don't know how to channel that anger, and they just want to destroy. They want to destroy the nearest thing, the nearest window. They want to set fires. They want to turn over police cars and set them on fire. And then there's looters who take the opportunity to grab things that they want at a, in a broken window that's right there. I saw a young lady on IG, and now she's on Facebook, that did a video, and she was kind of explaining that as far as the looters are concerned, these are people that have these, a lot of them, that have these flashy things shown in front of their face all their lives, but don't have the means to get them. So they see this opportunity and they go and grab them to be kind of equal to what they see shown in their face all the time, iPhones and big TVs and all kinds of things like that. But no one asked the question, why are they doing that? You know, why do they want this jewelry? Why do they want this iPhone? Why do they want this different thing? And no one has really, really answered or asked that question. Why would someone need to break in there? Yes, there are people who are greedy. There are people opportunists, but I don't believe that's everyone. You know, Zay, what do you think about that?
You know, when you were talking about how some people, they have the, how some people have the, like the impulsive reaction to break the nearest window mm-hmm. and to cause the destruction. I had read earlier today, as a matter of fact, I was reading Proverbs 1-3, and in Proverbs 1-3, Solomon, he tells us that he gives us like the instruction in dealing with things in a wise fashion and in righteousness and justice and mm-hmm. equity. And that's the opposite of impulsiveness, mm-hmm. which is why I think that we as Christians are in a great position to approach and deal and seek justice the right way in this entire situation. You know, I don't like any way you slice it, I don't agree with the looting. Mm-hmm. I think that does more harm, especially to your own people mm-hmm. than good. But I also understand people who are rioting. I understand where that's coming from. Mm-hmm. You know, I may not totally agree with it, but I can understand and appreciate where some people are coming from because they are hurt and they are outraged and they're in pain and they're acting on it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that it is for us to necessarily just disregard those people and just condemn everyone that's doing that. I think we have a responsibility through our lives and through our actions and through seeking justice to show people who God is, because really you don't see Christians, not in the church, like you don't see people talking about justice. I have never once in my life heard a sermon about racial injustice. Mm-hmm. So I think we have a responsibility to, through our actions, seek justice the right way.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I think it's a real opportunity to do that now. And one of the things, it's funny because it's been a while, but I think something happened in the last year where there was a big Be Woke movement. Mm-hmm. It was huge. And it was like the last year or so. And then this happened. And it's like the Be Woke movement just hit the whole world instantly from that video. And then we discussed this earlier, Sheldon. I know that you're in a predominantly white area. And I was mentioning on ESPN, Bomani Jones and Dominique Foxworth are two of the black hosts that are on ESPN all the time. And they said that when they returned to the studios in New York, a lot of the white people in there were very apologetic. He said, they've never been so nice to us. You know, they were offering me coffee and letting me go first on the elevator. and apologizing. And Dominique said that, you know, someone apologized when a white person came up and apologized to him. You know, he would wait a second before he commented, just kind of look down, make him feel bad a little bit longer. And then he would say, okay, I thank you. I appreciate it. You know, but he made a little fun out of it. But Sheldon, I just want to ask you, how are things up there? What kind of response and have people been reaching out to you up in Leesburg and in Wildwood in the area that you live?
So I am a teacher at First Academy in Leesburg. And so, like you said, it is a predominantly white school. This is going on year 17 for me. So I've had a number of people message me or texts and emails and just phone calls from former students, from folks that I currently work with and folks that are no longer at the school. And the overwhelming response is, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And what can I do now? So those three things are probably the most powerful things that you could say to anyone in this situation, any black man or woman is, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't know, and what do I do now? Mm-hmm. And that addresses everything.
Yeah.
So I just had a message from a woman at the university that I went to school, Eastern Kentucky University, again, another predominantly white institution. And she was like a mother to me when my mother was in Orlando. Mm-hmm. And she was over the program that I was involved with. And she is into her years, and as you can imagine, and she said, I am not racist. However, if I see something happen, what do I do? Mm. So it's, and I forwarded my number to her and I said, let's sit down and talk.
Right.
It's too much to text, but it's something that is due a phone call, mm-hmm. a one-on-one conversation,
yes.
and not, because we lose things in translation.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to hear the heart of an individual, heart of a man. And that dialogue is so very important. So, mm-hmm. I even had my first text came from a former student that I coach who is now my peer.
What do you mean? He works with you?
School. She works with me now.
That's so you taught her in kindergarten. You taught her in kindergarten, and now she works with you. Man, you've been there a long time.
She was in high school.
Okay,
and I mean. High school, and she's got a master's now, and she's
wow.
been working for her for the last 3 years. So, she reached out and just encouraged and told and spoken to me things that I had been able to bless her life with that I had no wow. earthly idea.
That's
and the thing with me being at that school is I am for many of my students and also coworkers the only black. Not just black man, the only black person that they regularly engage.
Wow.
And that's the thing that, you know, living in, always being a minority, wherever, most places I go, I look around and I, you know, I joke with my wife and I would say, you know, I'm the only black person in here. But to be in that environment and live in this life, it's like, how can you be in 2020 in an environment that is homogeneous, just one color, one race, one idea, you mm-hmm. can't grow from that. And
right.
it always concerns me when anyone from that environment says racism doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say that, you're saying that from a perspective of no perspective.
Right.
You're saying that from a perspective that what you have seen in the culture is your window to true people, and it's
right.
not.
Right.
Oh, it's been a great thing. I've had some great dialogue
mm-hmm.
with a lot of people, and I think this is a part of, I think, the movement, if you will, where in order for this thing to really make an impact, in order for Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor and many, and George Floyd, and so many before then, and we go back to Emmett Till, in order for this thing to move forward, good white folks are going to have to speak up.
Amen.
And I think, and forgive me for going again off topic, I think that there is a great deal of good ones who read their Bibles, know what it is, but don't have a relationship. And so they don't even know how to say, are you Black or African American? Or even beyond that,
right,
they see Drew Brees.
Right.
And Drew Brees, and my son's in New Orleans, so Drew Brees, whenever it's up Katrina and the hurricanes, he writes checks. And he's and Black folks love Drew, but Drew just so happened to say something that I think he would wish he took back.
The crazy thing is, if he said that 2 weeks, 2 months ago, it was nothing. That's what's amazing about what's happened.
Yeah, it's just, people are listening. They're not letting things go by. But I think it's one of those things, if like you said, if it had been done earlier, it wouldn't have been such a situation that's become. But even with that, I think some people are afraid to speak up because they may say the wrong thing or something off the cuff.
Especially now. So since he hit on Drew Brees, Zay, you're a super duper sports fan. So talk to me how you felt when Colin Kaepernick was proved right after all that he went through. He was correct. We knew he was correct.
Yeah.
But it was proved in the grand scheme of things, obvious that what he did, peaceful protest over police brutality, rung true. Talk about it, your feelings on that.
So when I saw that, my immediate reaction was, it's about time.
Yes.
Because the thing is, like, even going back to Drew Brees did express that same sentiment about 4 years ago. Around the time when Colin Kaepernick was doing the protesting, but Drew's perspective was more along the mainstream of how most people thought. It's just now the perspective has changed, so now people are reacting the way that they did. But going back to Colin peacefully protesting, I never saw anything wrong with that, because it's that was him exhibiting his right to freedom of speech by peacefully protesting. He wasn't doing anything disruptive. And my father and my uncle were both in the Marine Corps, and saw absolutely nothing wrong with Colin Kaepernick peacefully protesting, because it was never about the American flag itself. It was about the police brutality and the racial injustices that Black people face. And people just took that completely out of context. So and I'm proud that Colin Kaepernick, he stood his ground, and he accepted the consequences of not being able to play in the NFL, even though he wants to, but he stood for something that he believed was right.
Right.
And that's more important than playing football in the grand scheme of things. You know, so when I saw that he was proved right, I didn't even have like, ha, I told you so. I was just like, it's about time. People are finally waking up and seeing what Colin Kaepernick was actually doing this entire time. You know?
And they're saying, you know, of course, the streets are burning, and they're saying, why don't you guys just protest peacefully? And we're like, we did, you know, for sure. We're coming down to the end of the wire on this episode, but Frank, I'd like your final thoughts on this, man.
You know, I'm glad we got into this whole thing, especially with Colin Kaepernick, because we live in a society where if it's not what you do, if it's not what you would do, then it's got to be wrong. And people are not taught in these days to learn how, just because it's not what you do, you know, when you look at God's word, okay, God will tell you what he did was not a sin to God. He was expressing the way he felt.
Mm-hmm.
And people look at it, okay, if that's not what I would do, then it has to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to look at it through the lens of God's eyes. And like in our church this past Sunday, we had our second service back. Mm-hmm. And we had a panel where PK, Pastor Keith, who you know, mm-hmm. and a few others were on this panel just to discuss what has been going on
mm-hmm.
with the Floyd incident. Mm-hmm. And my pastor got up there and publicly apologize. And he's not that way. Our church is not that way. It's multicultural. Right. But he mm-hmm. wanted to apologize on the behalf of the body of Christ
mm-hmm.
for our lack of knowledge and mm-hmm. our lack of teaching and bringing this to the forefront. So instead of being proactive and deal with these situations before they're coming, and because what happens when you have to act reactively, that's when you act the wrong way. If you read the book of James, it's even with you and your wife at home, you guys can get into a little squabble over socks on the floor. Next thing you know, you're saying stuff at each other that you really didn't even want to say
mm-hmm.
because the tension built up, because issues weren't dealt with before.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I'm glad that all of this is coming to the forefront, because we need to deal with these issues now.
Mm-hmm.
And we all agree. We have to do it in a Christly manner, but
yes.
understand why things are happening mm-hmm. and why they're happening the way they're happening. And Amen. Look at it, allow God to look at it through the lens of God's eyes as to what's happening and how to handle the situation. And Amen. Don't put yourself there like you know it or you understand it unless you have been there
mm-hmm.
and look at it that way.
Amen. Sheldon, final thoughts.
First of all, I appreciate again being on the show.
You want to come back?
Let me come back.
Okay. But, all right. you said it.
So I think that the big thing with this is dialogue, and we've talked about dialogue after Rodney King, but I think we're getting to a better place. I think the dialogue is not just brothers, people, men and women of color, not just black people, but now we're seeing our white brothers and sisters who will come alongside evangelical and those who are not, who don't mm-hmm. know God.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
We're seeing a collective, a collection of people who are saying we've got to be able to do this better. Right. And so that's the thing that is, I think, makes me feel like we're going in the right direction, but it's just not that talk show host, let's talk about it, and then a week from now, let's move on to the way things were.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that God has placed in this time for this very reason, for this to happen in such a way that it has affected not just those who would be the victims, not just George Floyd, his family, or people that look like him, mm-hmm. but it's affected those who have put so much trust in the way of life and the freedoms that they have in this country
mm-hmm.
and realize I'm not free unless all my brothers and sisters are free.
Right.
So I think our perspective has changed that, you know, we do have to be more critical about everything that happens
mm-hmm.
Under the law.
Awesome. Awesome. Safe travels this weekend, man. I know you're going on the road to New Orleans, man. And Zay, your final thoughts.
Similar to what Frank had said earlier, of course, not like glad that this transpired, but the fact that it was caught on film the way that it was, it has sparked a dialogue. And I think that it is effectively moving towards change in terms of the actions behind all the talking. And I think that's important for us now and for the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's so throughout all this, I've been thinking a lot about Job and everything that, you know, he endured. And even though he got to a place where he was, you know, angry and fed up with God, he never cursed God. And at the end of it, he was thankful to God for where he was, because God allows things to happen in our lives, but he never gives us more than what we can bear. The thing is that we have to remember that he's there, and we need to lean on him for strength and thank him in the good times as well as the hard times. And it's tough to do, but everything that God does or allows to happen, he does for a reason. And it's incredibly tragic that, you know, George Floyd's family is now without him.
Right.
However, I think God has used this to effect change on the world.
Amen.
Hey, Chris, Amen. Can I finish up with a quote?
Sure.
All right, this is a quote from Nelson Mandela. "And no one is born hating another person because of the color of their skin and his background or his religion. People must learn to hate. Mm-hmm. And if they can learn to hate, they can be taught to love." And what I want to just say and finish up with is God has shown me both sides. And there is a nation that is praying for George Floyd's family. And it was funny because I was in prayer the other day, and we're so angry at this cop. Mm-hmm. And God showed me, can you pray for that cop's family?
Mm-hmm.
Because of his actions, there is a family that is destroyed and kids that are displaced. And if we could get to the heart of God and know that we are all created in his image, and that there is two tragedies or four or five that has taken place here as far as families and stuff like that. And God hates it all.
Right.
And if, you know, so that is my prayer. It's just that, you know, that God's heart would be reached out in this time. And that we could just look through his lenses to the future. And, you know, we all know this is going to take place until Jesus comes. But you know what? Change can happen.
Amen.
And it can happen.
Amen. Amen. I would like to say that my most encouraging thing that I've been seeing, and it's after all during all the peace marches and stuff like that, I see people reaching out to the actual officers on the front line. I thought about what I would do if I was out there protesting. And really all I thought about were the cops that were on that front line that might not necessarily agree with pushing people out of the way or shoving people or even feel the same way as the protesters, but it's their job to be out there in the front line. And I would have a chest full of cold water and give them all cold water and try to help those cops that are just good people that are just doing their job. Not necessarily agreeing with the rough treatment that some people have had, but I like that people have talked with the cops that have kneeled with the protesters, joined the protesters, hugged the protesters giving them flowers, and they accepted them. So there's love out there on those front lines as well. And that's really, really encouraging to me. It's amazing that people are waking up to over 400 years of what we've been going through and really just trying to understand the tiniest about it. And I don't know about you, Sheldon, or Zay, even you, Frank, of how we've adjusted the way we live our lives because of our situation, how we act, things we do, things we make sure we don't do. And it's all affected by this whole past. And, you know, people of other races don't have to do that. That's just the way it is. And we've always existed like that. But I want to thank you guys for coming on. Isaiah, I'm particularly touched by the wisdom that you've shown today. Sheldon, as always, man, impressive. And I thank you for giving us your time. And Frank, thank you for your heart that you shared this week. This will be on all of the podcast platforms. It's the Real Man Talk Show. We have a website, Real Man Talk Show at anchor.fm, that has all the podcasts listed there. Also, It will be on the Real Man Talk Show Facebook page and the 24 Flicks YouTube page, which is where the video will be. It'll be up this weekend. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. Appreciate your time, and God bless. Be safe.
God bless.
See you guys.
Take care.
Okay, so that's it. Thank you.